You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, love when Bill Barnwell joins us on the show, part of our ESPN NFL platform, and I think one of the smartest men working at ESPN. Bill, great to have you on. Great to hear your voice. Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, Anita. How's it going?
Great, great. You know, 2 weeks away from the draft. The next 2 weeks are going to be insane. Mm-hmm. Daily Wager. I won't be surprised if they ask you to come on board. We're just going to go nuts with all the prop bets out there, getting you ready for the draft. It's going to be fun. I do want to get into some draft talk with you, but first, the win-loss totals for all the NFL teams came out this week, and I posted an article on a column, as we like to call them now, right, on our chalk site, and I'm going to throw out a few that I really, really love. One in particular is the Falcons, and I'll tie this into the draft as well, right? The win-loss total is 7. I love the over, especially, I think the Falcons are in an amazing position. I think Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft, and he could very well fall to the Falcons at 4. I don't know how you pass up on Pitts and put him opposite Julio Jones. Nobody's going to be able to stop them in the red zone. I'm curious, your thoughts on the Falcons, A, over under 7 wins, and B, do you think Arthur Blank makes them draft a quarterback?
Okay, so A, I would say I lean over, but I have one concern, and I think all the numbers you come up with, so the Falcons are an incredibly likely team to improve in 2021, but they're going to be at a disadvantage in terms of their home games this year. So they only get 8 home games. The AFC team gets 9. The NFC teams get 8. And the Falcons have one of their home games going to London this year, possibly rumored to be against the New England Patriots. That would be 7 home games in a league where AFC teams are going to have 9. The rest of the division's probably going to have 8. That's my only concern with them. To me, I think they are the most obvious candidate for bouncing back, regressing towards the mean. They're not going to be as unlucky in close games next year. I love Arthur Smith, excited about that offense. And I think, like you said, they have the opportunity to add Kyle Pitts to that offense, which was already pretty good last year. They're going to be devastating. So to me, I think they're an over. If they had that 8th home game or even a 9th home game, I would feel even stronger about it. But when it comes to that pick, I don't think they're taking a quarterback, Anita. And this is really more a cap thing to me, because when they needed to create cap space this year, they could have done one of two things. They've restructured Matt Ryan's deal to create cap space and make him harder to cut in the years to come. Or they could have gone for Julio Jones and Jake Matthews, or Julio Jones and Grady Jarrett to create cap space. They didn't choose those guys. They chose to restructure Matt Ryan's deal, even though now they would owe $40 million, I believe, in dead money if they moved on from Ryan after 2021. So to me, that tells me they're not thinking quarterback at 4. The money says, hey, they're going to take, whether it's Kyle Pitts, whether they trade down for defensive help, whether they take one of the receivers and decide to build some sort of crazy historic offense. I think they're going to be going away from quarterback at 4 one way or another.
I hope it's, I'm in awe of Kyle Pitts. If I'm a general manager, like, that's the dude I want. And if I'm sitting there and I'm Atlanta or I'm Cincinnati, I'm like, oh, you know, take all those quarterbacks early, guys. Let Kyle Pitts fall to me at 4 or 5. another bet that I do like is I like the Cowboys under at 9.5. Bill, I think the wrong team is favored here in this NFC East division. I love Washington. I like the over of 8 wins for Washington. Mm-hmm. I think their defense is just going to be sick. And the Cowboys, I don't think enough is being discussed in regard to Dak coming back from that horrific ankle injury, let alone their defense is a mess. They have nobody in their side. They have no corners. So, I mean, I think 9.5 is a real, like, for to expect the Cowboys to win 10 games, I think that's a lot. I love the under for the Cowboys this season.
Yeah, I would have said both those lines. I think at 8.5, maybe a little bit of juice towards the Cowboys, but I think in both cases, I think you're right in that they're probably closer than people give them credit for. But the Cowboys, you know, people are always going to post big numbers for the Cowboys because there's so many Cowboys fans out there who want to bet the over, especially after last year. You know, it's so easy to sit here and say, okay, well, you know, if they just had Dak for the whole season, if they just been healthy on the offensive line, they would have been great. I was someone who was projecting greatness for the Cowboys last year, but you saw early in the season last year, they didn't have it. you know, even if they had had Dak for the entire season, that defense was a disaster. So they're really counting on Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator, and maybe this draft this year to really fix that defense. That might happen, but it might take half a season for them to get there. And for Washington, I mean, a really very similar to last year's Buccaneers. Heading into last year, the Bucs were the fifth best defense in the league by DVOA, but that would be masked because their offense was a mess. So when the offense improved with Tom Brady, the defense looked like it was phenomenal. Same thing with Washington this year, third ranked in defensive DVOA, but the Football Outsiders stat that measures efficiency. But the offense was very inconsistent, lots of turnovers when Alex Smith wasn't on. Actually, even when Alex Smith was in the game, they turned the ball over quite a bit. So mask the defensive abilities. If you improve with Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I think we all believe Ryan Fitzpatrick is an upgrade on the quarterbacks they had last year, well, now that defense is going to be able to shine. So I think we're looking at a team now where, you know, you combine a dominant defense with coaches who have been coaching dominant defenses in Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera for the entire time they've been NFL head coaches and NFL DCs, and an improved offense with a lot of young talent, Anita, you know, at running back and receiver. You know, they're probably going to add an offensive player in the draft as well, that line maybe. That's a team that could really threaten. So to me, I think absolutely you're right to say that the Cowboys and Washington should be in the same ballpark at the very least. Even if you want to say Washington should be ahead of the Cowboys, I think you have a very strong case for that.
Yeah. Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Listen, where they're sitting, Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, is falling big time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of teams out there that are worried about his, immaturity, off the field issues. I love Parsons. Put his off the field issues on the side. I love the ball player Parsons. And if he falls to Washington, I think that's going to be a very interesting discussion that they're going to have in that draft room if that does happen. Last over under total I want to talk to you about is the Giants over under 7. I think I think odds makers are really underestimating the Giants. Now listen, I'm not sitting here telling you that the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl or anything, but they improved the offense with Kenny Golladay. I'm more excited about the signing of Adoree Jackson to go alongside Bradbury at the corner position, and one could argue top 5 safety core in the NFL, and they're sitting at 11. I think there's a good chance that there's a good defensive player that will fall to them at 11. I know a lot of people are anticipating offensive line. Many people are anticipating Waddle improve even the wide receiving core even more. But I love the over for the Giants as well. To me, I'm more on the Washington team and the Giants more than I am on the Cowboys. And obviously, the Eagles, I think they're going to be a complete mess this year.
Yeah, I don't blame you on the Eagles.
I'm just being honest.
You have to be honest. I mean, I don't think they know what they're going to be this year. I don't think if you ask them what you should pick for that win total, I don't think the Eagles executives sit here and say, I'm not really sure what we're going to be this year either. I'm with the Giants. I'm always concerned about Daniel Jones. You know, we just haven't seen him develop yet. We haven't seen him take those strides we've seen other quarterbacks take. Like, take Josh Allen last year. I did not think Josh Allen had that kind of season in him, but from year one to year two, Josh Allen improved dramatically. Now, from year two to year three, Josh Allen made probably the biggest leap we've seen for a quarterback in the last 20 years. So that's very different, but we saw him improving. Sam Darnold, on the other hand, he was stacking. He wasn't the same guy year. He wasn't the same guy year after year, wasn't taking those strides. Maybe he had a play or two that was impressive, but he was so inconsistent from week to week. And over the course of his first 2 years, we didn't see much. Year three, same thing. He's the same guy. So with Daniel Jones, I kind of see the same thing here. Year one, year two, not much improvement. Still struggles with the pass rush. Still struggles to get the ball out. Still struggles with turnovers. Still struggles with his decision-making. Hasn't made those strides. So to me now, adding Golladay helps for sure. Andrew Thomas, you hope, is better in his second season. I absolutely buy that. But a guy with injury concerns, a guy with ceiling concerns heading into the league, and a guy who just hasn't been all that good so far as a pro. So to me, when I'm looking at can a team get to 8 wins here and hit that total, even though you have to be 8-9, which is still weird to say, you're kind of going to be healthy and be pretty competent. And I can believe that with Fitz in Washington, no problem. You know, Jones, that's a tougher one for me to believe.
Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Bill, with that being said, let's turn our attention to what's going on with the draft. You touched on it just a second ago. We were talking about Atlanta. you know, and a lot of people are anticipating that, you know, the draft really starts at three with the 49ers. Is it Mac Jones? Is it Justin Fields?
Mm-hmm.
I love Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is the second best quarterback in this draft. You know, I've been,
wow.
You know me, I love the draft. I've been talking to a lot of scouts, a lot of general managers, and mm-hmm. the feedback I'm getting, they're in agreement with me. I even had one scout who's kind of his own entity, but he services at least 15 other NFL teams. They step out of their own scouting department mm-hmm. because he created the his name is Mike Gideon. He created, I'm sure you've heard of him. He created the blue, red, purple system in regard to evaluating college
yep.
players. He said that Mac Jones reminds him, he scouted Joe Montana. That's how long he's been in this business. He said Mac Jones reminds him of Joe Montana. I know. There's a number of people who probably just drove off the side of the road. But regardless, I'm not saying, I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. I'm sharing with you what he said. You know, so I'm still on Mac Jones, but there's a DUI that has reared its ugly head in regard to Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And now the odds makers have Justin Fields favored to be selected by the 49ers at three. I'm curious, where are you at on this? What do you think the 49ers do at three, Bill?
Oh, Anita, I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I can see both sides of
the argument. I can hear it.
Here's what I'll tell you, and I will quote an Adam Schefter tweet here that I think is very interesting when it comes to the Mac Jones situation and who the Niners are going to pick at three. Adam Schefter tweeted after that Niners trade that they were not just going up to three. They were talking to the Bengals at five, and they were talking to the Falcons at four. So that tells me that it's not a situation where it's like, okay, we have to get exactly a three to get our guy. Now, to me, that could mean a couple of things. It could mean that they thought Mac Jones was going to drop to four or five and they wanted to take him there. Could mm-hmm. mean that they thought that Justin Fields was going to drop to four or five and they were going to take him there. Or to me, what that really tells me is that this is less about the particular guy and more about the situation where the Niners said, okay, we need to get a quarterback who we can rely upon. He's healthier than Jimmy Garoppolo, who's cheaper than Jimmy Garoppolo, who has the same kind of floor Jimmy Garoppolo has, even if he might not have the ceiling that we want from a Trevor Lawrence, for example. We think that we can be a Super Bowl team with a good quarterback situation and use the money we save to sign guys like Nick Bosa and sign guys like Trent Williams, who they signed this year, Mike McGlinchey and Deebo Samuel in the years to come, that we're going to be a team that builds with a ton of talent around our quarterback. We just need that guy to stay on the field. So to me, when I look at the quarterbacks in this class, I don't know that they have a significant presence. Maybe they do. Maybe they're going to sit here after the draft and say Mac Jones was always our guy or Justin Fields was always our guy and he was the person we were trading up for and we were not interested in anybody else. Maybe that'll be the case. But to me, I think the fact that Chad tweeted that, which I believe wholeheartedly, Adam does not lie, Adam doesn't make things up, and the fact that we have a team that we've seen them make the Super Bowl with, you know, kind of pretty good quarterback play with Jimmy Garoppolo. To me, I think they would be happy with either guy. Now, again, we'll see. Certainly, I thought the most satisfying answer, but I do think that the Niners have two good options here. I think Mac Jones and Justin Fields are both very promising quarterbacks.
Very, very interesting take in regard to Adam Schefter's tweet, because I just feel like if you're giving up that many draft picks, you're moving up because you know who your guy is. And also, you know, you can't underestimate the relationship between Robert Saleh, obviously, in the 49ers, and them knowing, like, we all know what the Jags are going to do, them knowing exactly what the Jets are going to do, so them absolutely knowing who's going to be available for them at three. And again, it could be Mac, it could be Justin Fields. So, it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a fun night, but I've gone on the record for 2 months now. I've been screaming from the mountaintops, Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones. Last year, I was screaming at the mountaintop, mm-hmm. Justin Herbert, Justin Herbert, Justin Herbert. Trust me, Dolphins are regretting that. But nonetheless, before I let you go, I had Carl Francis on the show a little bit earlier in the 9 o'clock hour talking about now we've got 18 mm-hmm. of the 32 teams now that players are saying, no, we're not going to attend OTAs. It's 10 OTAs and 3 mini camps. Nope, we're going to stay home. It's okay. Now, what I do find interesting is some Patriots players are like, well, Bill tells us to report, we're going to report. I highly doubt that the Patriots and that unit, that team is going to become one of the 18 plus. But nonetheless, the Jets and the Giants are a part of that. Your thoughts, how big of a story do you think this is, Bill?
I don't think it's much. I think that we saw last year, right, with the offseason we had with COVID, where there were no OTAs, where training camp was limited, no preseason games. I think people were sort of expecting very sloppy football, especially from the younger players, especially that the young guys would not be able to step in and play immediately. And you know what? Justin Herbert, week two, stepped in, looked like he's been a pro for 10 years against the Chiefs, had a great season. Tua Tagovailoa, not as much. He was injured, of course. Maybe the OTAs would have helped him more than someone like a Justin Herbert. But I do think that those practices we've seen now. Teams can do that with Zoom. Teams can do that with training camp. The playbooks have changed. The continuity has changed. I think teams are just a little different now than they were 10, 15 years ago. So maybe the stuff would have mattered more then. But I don't think it's going to be a significant competitive advantage. For a team like the Patriots, where you have a lot of new guys coming in, I think it probably helps. But look at the Browns last year. Browns, new coach, new coordinators, new scheme. I mean, after a disastrous year, I think that would have been the first thing we all would have said would have stopped the Browns last year, and the Browns still had a great season. So to me, I think that it always helps to practice, but if you lose one player to injury because of that practice, or one player gets COVID because of OTAs that wouldn't have got it otherwise, I think that's a net negative for your football team.
Interesting, interesting take. Ty, my producer, said the same thing. He's not worried about it, even though he's a Jets fan and Jets are coming in with a rookie quarterback that everybody's expecting to start. Very interesting. Bill, you know I always love having you on, and I so appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
My pleasure, Anita. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.